Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. The further we move into 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, this chapter on New Testament grace giving, the more details we pick up, the more information we are able to gather about the project offering that Paul is taking up for the Jewish Christians from the Gentile churches. It was a project that Paul had a burden for. He was concerned for the brethren in Jerusalem. It also becomes apparent a little bit later on that one of the most important reasons for this project offering was to strengthen the ties of fellowship between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Among Christians, of course, there shouldn't be any obstacles, barriers, suspicions, hostilities, tensions, but there often are, as we know. There is the ideal. We know what the Bible tells us ought to be our relationship with other believers in Christ. And then there is the reality that we don't always measure up to the ideal, though we should always know what it is, the ideal is, and should always be endeavoring to conform more to the ideal that is given to us in Scripture. But even after Gentiles became followers of Christ alongside Jews who became followers of Christ, we find that there are still sometimes these tensions that arise between these different types of people. We see the same thing in our day. In our day, it isn't so much Gentiles and Jews as it is blacks and whites and so forth. There's these tensions between different types of people, different backgrounds, different perspectives, different experiences in life. And there was this tension between Jewish and Gentile Christians, and Paul saw an opportunity to improve that relationship by receiving financial support from the Gentile Christians, which would be contributed to the Jewish Christians. This would make the Jewish Christians understand that the Gentile Christians loved them, cared for them, prayed for them, and were part of the same body of Christ as they were. And so Paul had high hopes for this project offering because it would accomplish more than simply remedying a financial need, but it would also build better ties of fellowship between two different groups of Christians. Well, I pause to welcome you to this Friday, May 26 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we are in need of financial help from you or other radio listeners like you in order to keep teaching God's Word on this station. So, Paul gives some apostolic advice about this offering in verses 10 and 11. We looked at it yesterday, and I'll just quickly go back over a couple of things we looked at yesterday and then add some more to it. But Paul makes it clear to the Corinthian church that they had made a commitment. They had expressed what they desired to do. You can call that whatever you want to. This is what we plan to do. This is what we desire to do. And Paul said, you expressed that desire and you began to fulfill that stated goal. But you've let your you've let your giving lag behind. Now you need to double your efforts and finish what you started. That's what he's saying. In verse 10, "And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now also you must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have." It's to your advantage to do this, because this will benefit you spiritually. This will help you grow in the grace of giving, which is one of the areas of development in the Christian life. And so, finish the job. It's not good to make a commitment and get started on it and then let it drop. You began to fulfill your commitment, now finish the job. Now complete the doing of it. And the reason for this advice is very simple. It's not good for you to fail to finish what you began. That's true in a lot of areas, maybe every area of life, not just in the matter of giving, but it certainly applies to giving as well. But it's not good for the quality of your own life to not finish things that you start. Some of you have a major problem with that. You start a project and seldom finish it, and start another project and don't finish that one either, and start another project and don't finish that one either. And there you are with all of these unfinished projects, every one of which indicate good intentions, a good desire. Yes, we would say a general commitment that you are going to do this. I'm going to complete this project on the house. I'm going to do this for some member of the family. I'm going to do this for the church, whatever it may be. You said you were going to do it. You got started doing it, but you didn't follow through. That's not good. It's not good for you to get in the habit of doing that. And it's certainly not good as an example to others. Is that what you want to teach your children? That it's a good thing to start projects and not finish them? Is that what you teachers want to teach the children that are under your care as they observe your life and see you doing this sort of thing? Is that what you want them to see? When I was growing up, I had a first cousin who astounded me when we were together. We lived in different states, but we had come together, both families visiting our grandparents. And we were at the grandparents' house, and she and I were coloring. And I got tired of it, and I said, "Oh, let's go on outside and do something else." And she said, "I can't yet." I said, "Why not?" "Because I haven't finished coloring what I started." And I said, "Well, you can come back and finish it later." And she said, "No, I can't, because my dad requires that I finish whatever I start. I have to finish this first, and then I can go outside and do something else." What a wonderful training principle. I was astounded. I was impressed. That's good child training. That's good child of God training. And that's what Paul is saying. Now, after this apostolic advice in verses 10 and 11, he gives a helpful explanation in verses 12 through 15 that we'll work through in part, at least before the close of the broadcast today. Verse 12, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality, as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack." Helpful explanation, and there are four important clarifications here. And the first one is, God does not require more than you are able in your giving. And again, this would apply to other areas too. If you commit yourself to do something and then your health breaks and you're not able to complete it, God doesn't expect you to do what His providences in your life have made impossible. God doesn't expect you to fulfill a giving commitment if the circumstances of your life have made it impossible. Now, be sure that it truly is circumstances that God has brought into your life and not just foolish, unwise spending on your part, because that's a different matter altogether. But God does not require more than you are able. In other words, God is not requiring of you what the Macedonian churches did. And remember, that takes us back to the beginning of the chapter. And Paul told us there that the Macedonian churches not only gave according to their ability, but beyond their ability. We might call that the Macedonian miracle. How could anyone give beyond their ability? Well, God's grace enabled them to do that. But Paul says here, that's not really what I'm asking. I told you about that. I said it before you as an encouragement, as an incentive, yes, as an example of sorts, but I'm not requiring that of you. God isn't requiring of that of you. God doesn't require more than you are able, but He does expect a willing heart. For if, back to verse 12, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. So God is not demanding of you a Macedonian miracle of giving more than you have. Obviously, He can perform such a miracle, and obviously, if you desire to give more than you can and call upon Him to enable you to do what you otherwise could not do, He very well may be pleased to enable you to do that, just like He did the Macedonian churches. But for right now, we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is having the right heart attitude in your giving and to complete what you started. God is not asking you to give beyond your ability, but He is expecting a proportionate response. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. That'll put some of you at ease. But that's the same thing that is taught elsewhere. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16. Let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered, that there be no collections when I come. That's proportionate giving. To whom God gives much, He expects much in return. To whom God gives little, He expects less in return. That's the principle all through Scripture. God expects you to respond in proportionate return according to what He has given you. That applies to your labors, your energies, your gifts. God doesn't expect you, for example, to preach if He hasn't given you that ability. God doesn't expect you to play the instrument to accompany congregational singing if God hasn't given you that ability. God doesn't demand of you what He hasn't given you, but He does expect a return on what He has given you. That's a very important principle, and keep that in mind when it applies to our giving. Thank you for joining me for this broadcast. Please return again on Monday, and we'll see you then. May God give you His eternal peace.